Amen. It's good to see everybody out there hungering for this month. Amen. The month of April. April shower bring May flowers. Amen. And we're waiting for all that rain to come and stuff like that. But anyway, just a couple of comments before I get into what are the truth for modern times for 63. There's been a lot of, been receiving a lot of emails. I said this last month, and it still came as a lot of brothers and sisters. And the Orient have really, I guess maybe they found the website, and they've really been clued in on that. So I'm getting a lot of good emails, and I know they're being, there's a lot of troubles going on in their life, and hopefully that is, is comforting them. And I know the website is on for another banner year of hits. We are continuing way ahead of the hits where we were last year, and so we just thank the Lord for that. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, and I'm going to preface what I'm going to be saying tonight by saying this is a critical teaching in a lot of lives, and there's many, many people who need to hear what I'm going to be sharing. Amen. And so we will be out, of course, on the internet, on the website, so forth and so on. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at some things that we looked at last month to go ahead and get us focused and get our heart moving in the right direction. There's 6 points that we looked at last month, amen? And last month we looked at vision. That was the main topic. The main topic was vision. So the first point we'd like to look at from last month is vision is not difficult to obtain. Vision in God is not difficult to obtain. All you have to do is have an honest heart. And you will be obtained that vision that God wants. The requirement to have vision from God is an honest heart. Because if our heart is honest, then we will want what He wants and not what we want. Amen? The way to obtain God's vision is to have an honest heart and to stop focusing on our needs. I'm saying that again. If we want what God wants, if we want God's vision in our life, we need to stop focusing on what we want. I want this and I want that. We just need to stop focusing on that, and we just need to focus on what God wants. Amen? I was talking to a number of people, and one of the things that I would like to see happen with the Rock Fellowship is having different people in the fellowship host the home group meeting. So, we can have many, many home group meetings, and, I could go and share, and, or whatever, But a lot of people say, well, I don't have a really nice home, I don't have a really nice home to have a home group meeting, or I don't have a really nice vehicle to go ahead and, And I look at them, and I go, well, do you know why I have a nice home? And they go, why? And I say, because I've opened up my home. I've opened up my home, and God has given me a home, no matter the size of my home, but I've opened up my home, and God has blessed me because I've opened up what God gave me. See, I'm not concerned about my needs, I'm concerned about God's needs, and God's needs is to get the word out. So if we take what God has given us, the provision He's given us, and we open that up and use that for what He gives us, then He will bless us, And that's just the way that works. When I go somewhere, I always want to drive. Ask anybody, our drive, no problem. Hey, our drive, And why do I want to drive? Well, because I have a nice truck. Well, I have a nice truck because I always drive. And so God sees that I always drive, and I'm concerned about God's needs, so God's going to give me a nice truck so that I can drive and take care of God's needs. If we are truly focused on God's needs in our life, then He will bless us and He will give us what we need to do those things that He wants to do in our life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Number three is we cannot be an example to the world unless God can kill our fleshly carnal nature in our ways. Wow. We cannot be an example to the world. Oh, I'm supposed to be a Christian, I'll be an example to the world. No, you won't. You can never be an example to the world unless God is able, unless we allow God to kill our fleshly carnal nature and our ways that are not of God. So many people said, well, and we must follow Jesus, to believe in Him. And that is true. You say, well, this person believes in Jesus, but he doesn't follow Him. Well, I tell you, if a person doesn't follow Jesus, then he doesn't believe in Jesus. Now, you may believe there's a God out there or whatever, but you're not believing in Jesus. You're not, if you don't follow God, if you don't do what God wants you to do, if God is not leading you, if God is not, ministering to you in your life, and if God is not working in your life, then you don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe in God. You believe in some religious, thing out there. Only when we allow God to minister to us, only when we allow God to work in our heart, only when we allow God to reveal our heart and all these things in us, and He can kill our fleshly nature, then and only then can we believe in God and can we follow Him. Amen? Not until. We must allow God to kill our, the carnal ways, in our nature. If not, then we are not following Him and we're not believing in Him. Amen? Number four, we must discover an ever-increasing fulfillment in life for what God provided in His plan and purposes. Amen? We must discover an ever-increasing fulfillment in life, no matter what stage we are in God, no matter what we are doing, no matter where we are doing it, whatever is going on, we must discover an ever-increasing fulfillment in life from what God provides in His plan and His purposes. No matter how big our house is, no matter what we're driving, that's not the issue. The issue is our heart. Remember, at the heart of every issue is an issue of our heart. And we must discover that ever-increasing fulfillment. There must be an ever-increasing fulfillment in our life if we're going to walk in God's plan and His purposes. That's a tremendous thought. It's a very deep thought, but it's a thought that we must come to. And if we don't discover this ever-increasing fulfillment, then we're not following God. We're doing something religious, or we're doing, Christian, religious, but it's not about you and the Lord. Amen? Amen. Number five, eagerness in God can get us off track. Eagerness in God can get us off track. So many people want to minister, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, or I have this talent, and I have this ability, and I can do this, and I want to do that, and we want to go do that. Well, half the time, people aren't prepared, and what they do is they go get in trouble, and then make a mess, and God has to dig them out, and then God has to get them back on track. And we talked about some missionaries that have gone and lost their life, last time. But eagerness in God can get us off track. We need to not be so eager to run out there and do what, we think God wants us to do. We need to allow God to work in our life and prepare us to do that. Amen? And the last thought, tremendous thought, we are where we are in God today based on how we have followed God's vision for us in the past. Wow. That is a tremendous spiritual thought. We are where we are in God today based on how we have followed God's vision for us in the past. And that's just the way that is. We end up where we are in God by how we've allowed God to work in our life in the past. So if we have not allowed God to work in our life, then that's going to lead us to a certain place, and we are at that place, whether it be good or bad or whatever, based on, how we've followed God's vision for us in the past. Amen. Amen. Six very important points. Amen. Now, Wilderness Truth for Modern Times 63. Amen. And today we're going to look at the introduction, because we have left Kinnebah. And remember, Kinnebah was a place where God was looking for forward progression of the children of Israel. So they were coming up, and as they were coming up in the wilderness, they were to go left, forward progression, and they were to turn left to go to the promised land. Well, they didn't. They turned right. They turned away from the place that God wanted. And so as they turned away from the promised land, as they turned away from God's vision, as they turned away from the things of God, then that puts you into a crisis. That puts you into a crisis. And so tonight, we're going to go ahead and look at in crisis, in an introduction. There are two sets of meaning with the word Zen. And so now, as we saw last month, we are now moving into the wilderness of Zen. The first step is to prick, barb, or hook something that is quite unpleasant or quite painful. So too in our life, truth has those two sharp edges that can cut us coming and going. Truth in the Christian's life is one of the most painful things to us, because truth always brings us down and it brings us to a low place to where we get understanding from God. If we reject truth, if we do not want truth in our life, then we will never ever be able to come to the place that God wants in our life. Well, we may go out and preach and sing and, you know, and do all of those religious things, but if we never allow truth to move in our life, then we will never ever be able to come to those places that God wants us to bring us to. Amen. The other side of this meaning is quite different. It is to preserve. It is to keep. It is to protect. So in one meaning, we are torn to pieces in the briar patch. A loved one dies, or we're in trouble, we're in crisis. And in the other meaning, we are kept by God and can rest in His protection. Rest in His protection. Amen. We are read 1 Samuel 2:6. Amen. 1 Samuel 2:6. And 6 and 9. Amen.
The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He hath raised up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set him among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord, and He hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in the darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail.
Amen. At the same time, the Lord was killing, and at the same time, He was making alive. All those three, in those three verses right there. At the same time, the Lord can kill us, but at the same time, He can make us alive. And I would say, unless we allow the Lord to kill us, we will not be made alive. So if God kills our nature, and He kills our carnal thinking and our carnal ways, at that nature, then, we can be made alive. Even in the briar patch, when we're being torn apart, right, we can be made whole. We can be made whole. Even at times when bad things are going on in our life, we don't understand, we're in crisis, things are just not working out. If we are walking with the Lord and we have an honest heart and we are in His will, even in those times, then you know what? He's making us alive. We are being made whole. It's an amazing process. It could be God adding while subtracting. You know that? God can add to us while He subtracts. God can add His character and His nature and His attributes and all of these things to us, as He removes these negative things, these attitudes and these character flaws and all of these areas in our life. He can add those as He can go ahead and remove all of those other things in our life. As strange it may seem, the very incident occurring in the wilderness of Zen worked in parallel with these meanings of the Hebrew word Zen. Amen? And so too in our lives, God works the same way. He adds while He subtracts. He kills while He makes us alive. This is the spiritual process of spiritual growth and development that is missing in so many teachings and so many churches. Churches do not speak of spiritual growth and development, and that's why churches have a bunch of babies making messes all over the place, because there's no real teaching on spiritual growth and development. I have seen that for especially the last 20 years. Amen. The place in which the children of Israel lived while in the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh, is a focal point and plays prominence in the message of this wilderness. Kadesh also carries two different meanings, much wider apart than the two settings of the meaning for them. Kadesh, or Kadesh, means holy and its related words. Kadesh also means prostitute and its related words. The very ones God called to holiness and dedication to Himself become spiritual prostitutes dedicated to other gods. Wow. And that's what happened with the children of Israel. God called them to holiness, but they went whoring after other gods. They did, they did the opposite. God would, the entire time of Israel, Israel would sin, and God would have mercy and bring them back, and then, they would be saved, and then, they would go off again and sin, and so forth and so on. And that's the picture here that's going on in the wilderness of Zin. But I would say also today, today in America, especially in America and around the world, we see that the God of Baal is alive and well. Today we see that there's babies that are sacrificed in abortion clinics and the God of Moloch and into the fire in so many areas that America is off track, and in many other countries in the world they're just off track, and believe it or not, the God of Baal has stood up. And 1 Kings 18:21, we're not going to go there, but that's where Elijah said, if God be God, then serve God. But if Baal be God, then serve him. And that's what we need to say as a church. We need to stand up and we need to say, if God be God, then serve God. If Baal be God, or all these other gods and all this other stuff, then serve them. The children of Israel, when they were in Kadesh, that's what they did. They during this crisis, and they let God, and so they got in trouble. Amen. This place of the wilderness of Zin, with Kadesh as its capital, so to speak, is a place of crisis, a place of crisis. For the children of Israel, it is a very critical place in time. For the children of Israel, when they entered into the wilderness of Zin, and they went to Kadesh, or Kadesh, wherever you want to pronounce that, they came into a place and time that was very, very critical. So too, as we enter the wilderness of Zin, so we as a home group meeting, and so we as the Rock Fellowship, we are entering the wilderness of Zin as we study that. That also, it is a critical time for all who hear my words. All that hear my words that will go on over the internet and that are here today. Maybe it is a place of crisis for all of us. For all of us. We all have points of crises in our life. Let me say that again. We all have points of crisis in our life. Turning points. Perhaps whatever your wilderness of Zin may be, it is a place and it is a time when your die is cast, or in other words, when your mold is made. These times of crisis in these places, this is where we find out, this is where we're made, this is where, our heart is really exposed, our life is really exposed, and we are really exposed for who we are. And you will set yourself in a certain direction until you come to the end of the road, maybe the end of your eternal life. The wilderness of Zin is a very critical place. And, the next couple months, as we look at the wilderness of Zin, we're going to be looking at critical issues in our life. I really discern in my spirit that there are crises in marriages, and there's crises in families. As I go ahead, and I was putting this together, my spirit was just heavy, and it was a burden, and there's so many marriages, where there's marriages are not in order, and families are just so many problems, you know, that are in crisis. And many are in the wilderness of Zin, and you're casting your lot for or against God. Because in these times, in these hard, these pressure times, in these crisis times, we are saying we are going to do what God wants us to do, or we're not going to do what God wants us to do. We're either going to be for God, or we're not going to be for God. I was sharing with someone, and we talked about it, I guess last Sunday, a father who has two sons and who are in the military, and they said that they were transgender now, you know. And he was really upset and angry and just want to almost kill his sons, you know. And I said, well, that's not the real big issue. The real big issue is, because he said he was a Christian, is how he had to walk with God, right, and still, you know, and maintain the truth, yet still love his son. That is the battle, you know. It's not being angry and all that stuff. It is holding the line of truth and loving your son, you know. That is where it is. And so that's what happens here, like in the wilderness of Zin here. People are in a crisis, and you are either standing for God or you will compromise. I will tell you, compromising for peace and family is devilish. Compromising the truth of the Word of God for family peace and unity and stuff like that is just pure devilish. Amen? Remember, not moving correctly means we are automatically moving incorrectly in God. Isn't that amazing? If we don't move in God in the direction that God wants us to do, if we don't do the things that God wants us to do, there's no neutral. When we're not moving correct in God, then we're automatically moving incorrect. There's no, I'm just going to sit here for a while and think about it, or I'm going to sit and do the Christian thing, I'm going to pray about it. No. Truth is truth, and we know that, so we know what we're supposed to be doing, and when we don't do it, then that's sin. Sin is to know right, but do wrong. So when we're not moving correctly in God, then that means we are moving incorrectly in God. It must be, it would make it a lot easier for us if we're able to recognize the wilderness of Zin when we come to it. But there's no sign or there's no marking to let us know where we are. There is no spiritual wilderness which is marked that when we come to it, that we immediately know where we are. We know the truth. And you know when you're in a crisis, and you know when you're moving in God or you're not moving in God. So we know the truth. We know what we are to do. And God has hardwired us in this. In Psalms 42, 7 and 8, Moses talks about this deep, calling unto deep. God has put within us a truth. God has put within us a knowing that we know what is true and what is not true. God has built in us, and that's why no person will be able to stand before God and say they did not know. No. God has put this understanding of what is true and what is right within us. And God, you know, that's just the way that He made us, that deep call that's in us, that calls out to God, because God wants everyone to be saved. So no one will be able to stand and say, well, I didn't know, or I never heard about Jesus, or whatever. No, it won't work, because God has built in us. And that call in our heart that goes out to a loving God. Amen? There is a point in God where we'll close, but the response necessary to carry us forward in God is not a response which God, you know, wants to see only in the wilderness. The decisions to move in the will of God and to obey the commands of God is ours to make. Let me say that again. The decision to move in the will of God and to obey the commandments of God is ours to make, not only in the wilderness of Zin, but every day in our life. God expects us to move correctly every day of our life. When God calls us on into progression and into a greatness in Him, which we have not yet known, it is our prerogative to heed or not to heed the call. Amen? When God says, I want you to do this or I want you to do that, then it's up to us. We decide what we're going to do. Am I going to do this or am I going to do that or whatever, you know? The one thing I have learned in my life, we're talking about that later. But anyway, when God wants us to do something, you know, it is our prerogative to do that we want to do. And don't we do what we want to do? You know, I don't know, you know, anybody, I mean, you know, that's like tonight. You came here tonight because you wanted to come here tonight. Because that's what God wanted you to do, and it was the right thing, you know. We do what we want to do. Amen? Wow. Sometimes I wish God would make me do things that I don't want to do. Because it's what I need, but He doesn't do that. He gives us all that, you know, that latitude. Thus, what happens to us in the wilderness of then is not because of our decisions. The decisions which we make, which will be based upon what we know or what we do not know, upon what we believe or don't believe, and upon what we desire and do not desire. Wow. Now that is a deep thought right there. So the decisions that we make in the wilderness of them, in these times of crises, they will be based upon what we know and what we do not know. They will be based upon what we believe nor don't believe, and upon what we desire or we don't desire. A crisis can either be our servant, or it can be a servant that can move us correctly in God, or it can be a master to keep us in bondage. So many times we get into bad situations and crises in our life, and we do not allow that situation to move us forward in God. Well, that's what God wants us to do. He puts us in these situations so that we can move forward in God. If we don't move forward in God, then they become a master to keep us in greater bondage. Amen? But that's not what God wants. Our decisions may be based upon the fact that God is wise and has our interest in heart. Or these facts may escape us and a different decision is made. Each, the knowing and the not knowing, will have a great effect on the way we respond to God and make our choices. Amen. It is the simple response correctly in God, and our troubles are our servants. Respond out of God's will and plan, and our troubles lead us to more and more frustration and heartache. And I have seen that in my life. If I make the wrong decision, if I make the wrong choice in a crisis or in a trouble or something's going on, if I make the wrong choice, if I do not move in God, if I move outside of what God has established, if I move away from what God, then all that does is this leads me to more frustration and heartaches. But if I move in God, if God comes to me and He says, David, you know, this is what I want you to do, and I want you to go this direction, and I want you to do this, and I want you to say this, you know, if I do that, then that brings me into a place of peace and rest and understanding. If I don't do that, then that just causes more consternation and more frustration and more headaches, and things just do not seem to work out. Amen? In the wilderness of Zin, the children of Israel, God wanted them to stop their forward progress and go left. But Kinemoth, they went straight, and they went to the right, and they kept going to the right. Well, they kept going further and further and further away from the promised land where God wanted them. So, well, as you see what happens in the wilderness of Zin, we will look at that a little later. Amen. Some parting thought here. If we do not believe God loves us, we may choose differently than we would if we believe that God loves us. God may be calling us into a certain direction concerning His will, but a great desire for a different path may cause us to refuse His calling. Man, I'm telling you, these last couple things have been really, really deep, and you really need to evaluate this. You need to look at your heart and really evaluate this, amen? A lack of a certain desire may make easy obedience to His calling in us. Amen? A lack of a certain desire in us may make easy obedience to His calling, or a strong desire to do His will in us may cause us to be obedient. Wow. Wow, wow. Even in the ministry, if God changes our lives around and we report to somebody new, better know old things are passed away and God is bringing a new direction into our lives. That is one thing that I have noticed in my ministry, and I'm talking about mentorship and I'm talking about spiritual authority now. If God changes things in my life to where He brings this person into my life that is over me spiritually, and I am to maybe learn from him a while or whatever, please know that that is the new direction that God is bringing into my life. And I have seen that so many times in my life. As I respond and move correctly in that, as I do the things that I need to, then my heart is just open and God is able to just fill me with more of His love and more of His understanding and knowledge. But if I reject that, if I say no, I don't want that. I want to do this and I want to go my way and I have my needs and God, I don't want to do what you want me to do. I have to take care of this. If we are in that situation, then we're not going to be moving very far in God. Amen. These three elements, underline these, knowing, believing, and desiring, are not the only element influencing our decisions. But these three elements here, these are the main three elements in our lives that affect our decision making. They affect our decision making. Knowing or not knowing. Believing or not believing. Desiring or not desiring. Amen. There are many elements playing their part in our lives which help to bring us to certain decisions. And thus they help to mold us. But these are the three main elements in our life that help us make a decision to move correctly in God. Amen? So we're in a crisis and we gotta, do what God wants us to do to get out of that crisis, I have this and I have that and I want to do this and stuff like that. Our decision that we will make will depend upon us knowing or not knowing, believing in God or not believing in God, desiring to do what God wants us to do or not desiring what God wants us to do. Amen. We become molded of what we desire, and we have or we have not allowed God to put this desire in us. The deeper call inside of us wars against our flesh for the will of God in our lives, yet we determine the victory. And that is the amazing thing. God is so loving and patient with the children of Israel, and He's loving and patient with us. In so many areas, individual areas in each one of our lives, God knows the choice that we should make. God knows the correct choice, and yet so many times we don't make that right choice. We go ahead and we choose something else and then we get frustrated and angry and it just doesn't work out. But God lets us make the wrong choice. That's okay. I'm going to bring you back around and then you're going to get another chance to make that choice. Well, that's what God did with the children of Israel when they went into the wilderness of sin. They were supposed to go left and they went right. And they went into this place of crisis. God killed a bunch of them off, but there was a remnant saved. And ultimately, we know, not under Moses, but under Joshua, they crossed the Jordan River and went into the promised land after 40 years of God's dealing in their life. Amen?
Amen.
Just a wonderful truth here from the wilderness of them as an introduction. Amen? So Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, for, Lord, for that, Lord, that knowing and the believing and the desiring, Father. Lord, let us know you, Father, Lord God. Let us believe you, Father, Lord God. Let us believe you for what you want for our life, Father, Lord God. And let us have a desire to be with you, Father, Lord God. We love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. We thank you for your word, Father, Lord. Let it set in our hearts, Father, Lord. Let us meditate on it, Father, Lord God, so that we can walk with you, Father, Lord. So that we'll make the right choices, Father, Lord God. Lord, we won't make the wrong choices, Father, Lord, but we'll be able to move with you, Father, Lord. And we'll get out of those crises, Father, Lord, that we seem to find ourselves in our life. And we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen.